If you had to miss a night this week, this is the night you should have missed. Tomorrow night there's gonna be a holy blowout in this service. And if I were you, I'd come early to make sure you have a good seat. And I'm gonna tell you something else. Ellen White says that the devil occupies the seats up front that are not filled with bodies and distracts from the worship. When I do evangelism, sometimes ahead of time, I'll put $50 underneath a seat, but they're always in the front. Sometimes 100, sometimes 10. I don't know what's under any of these front row seats, but I would suggest we get some cushions and put them up there, and you will fill this from the front to the back. I'm just interfering. Forgive me. Before I present the Lord's case this evening, I want you to know that I am deeply indebted to J. Wayne Hancock and the other technicians in IT and the AV, because you will see some things on the screen, and I want them, they're going to show you some of the seven texts that has the word revive. There are only seven in the entire Bible with the word revive. I want you to copy them down. I'm not going to take time this evening and walk through them, but I want you to see how sophisticated and spiritually astute your conference planning committee is when they selected revive us again, O Lord, because you will get an understanding of revive as you read each of those texts in different books of the Bible. And it might not be a bad thing to get some additional translations. For instance, in Hosea 14:7, it is not in the New International Bible. It's not in the updated New American Bible. It's only found in the King James Bible, the word revive. And so they're going to flash it on the wall, and you take your time and take the notes down. I know that the mind can only absorb as much as the seat can endure. And with the humidity pulling and so forth, we want to make sure that we do not hold service till tomorrow morning so that you can go home and get ready for the holy blowout, which is coming this evening. I also want to give a shout out to the culinary people that prepared that tremendous meal today. It was a Sabbath meal on a Tuesday. Oh, don't say amen if you don't have the gusto and enthusiasm, because it's almost anemic. Amen. Those of you who ate in the cafeteria, was that meal good today? And the salad. So when you see the people working in the cafeteria with no air conditioning and preparing, and no sooner than they get ready with lunch, their supper, give them a big thank you. Tell them amen, because you know when you go up there, you're ready to eat. And they have the food prepared, and I think it's tremendous. And I want to thank the president, the treasurer, and all of the committee for giving my wife and I an opportunity to enjoy this encampment with you. You have a beautiful campground, and the youth seem to be enjoying themselves, and I wish I were a billionaire and I could write a check to the president for $1 million. But I have to be transparent, and there's no need in me writing that check because I don't have $1 million. But I will pray. I did give offering. You didn't see me up here, but I did give offering, and we're just glad to be here. And I want you to just keep up keeping up, because in a little while we're going home. And so you will find information coming. Now there are tremendous resources that I have you'll see them on the screen, that talk about revival and reformation from the spirit of prophecy. So not to inundate you with a whole lot, they're going to flash it, and at the end of worship, you will want to probably sit still and take it down. I'm glad my wife didn't preach when she was up. She is a disciplined person. She knows the difference between giving remarks and preaching. And so I'm so glad that she gave remarks and didn't preach, because then you would tell me, no need for you to stand up. We've been well fed. You come back another time when she can't make it. So I'm very delighted and happy at that. I want to thank our special music for the dedication in that song. And I'm going to make an appeal tonight. I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but I will ask you to stand. And if you are in somehow AWOL from the Lord, tonight is your opportunity to say, Lord, you've been reviving me. I'm not going to wait any further. I want to re-enlist. Others of you might say, Lord, I want to recommit. And others might say, Lord, I'm strong in the Lord. I want to stay strong. So you know what category. I'm going to give you the opportunity to put action to what your amens are saying. And I want you to know that it is a delight, again, to be here. I'm just sorry that we have to leave, but may God's Spirit continue to linger in this encampment, in your hearts, and guide us on our journey. Let us pray. Once again, Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, we magnify you for being so kind and loving to us. Full of sin and unworthy, yet you died for us on Calvary, and we just want to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the air we breathe that you don't charge us. Thank you for the sun that warms us and you don't charge us. No bills from heaven saying the rates are going up. What a great God we serve. In his holy name we pray. Let those who are seriously planning to go to heaven say,
Amen.
Is there a difference between a home and a house? You said it correctly. And what is the difference? A house, four walls, maybe a floor, a roof, windows, doors, might have bathrooms, might be plush, carpet, air conditioning, whatever the case may be. But a home has a personal touch. It has the touch of the homemaker in the blending of colors throughout the house, the home, the atmosphere, the tone that's set, the joy that pervades the house. Love is seen when the homemaker, and that could be the father or the mother, is making lunch and doing those nice things. Home is a place where you come in and shut the door and you are revived. You're able to sit back and relax and know that you're safe in your home. Oh, you may have an alarm system, but listen, if they want to get in, they'll get in. But the holy angels guard and protect you. And so the home is a beautiful place. And on Friday evening when the sun is setting and the occupants gather to sing Day is Dying in the West, oh, what a beautiful experience to know that we're welcoming in the Sabbath. And I want you to know that we're going home. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. In the National Geographic magazine, November 2010, appeared an article on Great Migration. The following quote is from that article, and I quote, "What is it that makes animals migrate with such a magnificent spectacle for the eye and the mind? Is it the sheer abundance of wildlife in motion? Is it the steep odds to be overcome? Is it the amazing feats of precise navigation? The answer is yes to all the above. But there's another reason why the long-distance journey of the wildebeest, the sandhill cranes, the monarch butterfly, which flies over 2,500 miles going home, little butterfly, sea turtles, and so many other species inspire our awe. One biologist has noted the undistractability of migrating animals. A non-scientist risking anthropomorphism might say, yes, they have a sense of larger purpose. Every living creature has a home. And in the migration, you see many of them returning to the home to give birth to the next generation. There's something about going home and arriving at home and the risk it takes to get back home. If you're here tonight and you're in the church, thank God for the privilege and stay on Ship Zion. Don't think about getting off to get a little taste of this world. Because not everybody who gets out gets back in. Now, we have some people who fortunately come back. We heard a testimony tonight about that. But there are many who don't. And some who come back with tremendous problems and emotional needs. It is better to follow God's plan from the very beginning. It was never his intention that we experience evil to appreciate good. No other church on the planet gives us a clear insight into the great controversy between God and Satan. The basic question is, who is the best qualified person to run the universe? And Ellen White, in her 5 books, talks about it. And those 5 books, Desire of Ages. What's the next one? Hold that for last. Patriarchs and Prophets, Prophets and Kings, Acts of the Apostles, Desire of Ages, Great Controversy. And in each of those books, the unfolding of the controversy. Other churches can talk about sin. They can talk about Jesus' victory on Calvary over death and the grave. But the only church with the insights coming from above is the remnant people that God has given to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, Revelation 19, 10, and Revelation 12, 17, that identifies us as the group that has the gift of prophecy. And so we praise God that that gift given to Ellen White, coming through the long tradition of Old Testament, New Testament prophets, benefits us here in Mountain View this evening. And so we are going home. And one day we will be free of oppression. We will be jubilating and celebrating. And we will be free of Sunday oppression. Because the big issue that's just about to break loose, which day are we going to keep? God's holy day, which is the seventh day of the week, the Sabbath, or Sunday, which the world will push in place of God's Sabbath. And if you're not keeping the Sabbath now, don't think you'll keep it when you go to the ATM teller and you can't get any money out because you don't have that union card to participate in the great economic enterprise of the country. So your trust and faith must be developing right now where we are. Let us sing a song that will cheer us by the way. In a little while, we're going home. You know that song? Let's sing one verse of that song. I want you to see it. Picture heaven in your mind's eye. Get it set. Where are our instrumentalists? Oh, yes, come on, sister. Our song director departed, but we'll let our instrumentalists take us. We'll sing one stanza. In a little while, we're going where? Let us sing a song that will cheer us by the way. Introduction, ladies. All right, all together. Sing a song that will cheer us by the way. In a little while, we're going home. And the night shall end in that everlasting day. In a little while, we're going home. In a little while. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Let the church say. Now, somebody is saying, well, how do you know in a little while, Pastor? They told me that 40 years ago, and we're still here. Well, thank you for thinking it and for me being able to anticipate someone raising that question. You do not want to be caught up in the second coming syndrome, which is to say, is Jesus coming today or tomorrow? No. We don't know the day nor the hour. Never mind those who say they know, and then when it didn't happen, they had another explanation. So don't worry about that. Let me say this to you. I live and prepare for the next 25 years. I've taught my daughters to do the same thing. Prepare for the next 25, 30 years. Take care of your body and mind the first 30 years. It'll take care of you the next 60 years. You didn't hear what I just said? Eat correctly, exercise, get your education, then look about marriage, develop the family, stay close to the Lord. But live each day as though it were your last day on earth. Does that make sense? Prepare for the next 20 years, but live as though the Lord is coming today. Now, when he does come, his soon may be too soon for some of us. Think about that. When he does come, his soon will be too soon, and it will be too late for us to say, Lord, I really believe. Give me one more chance. Please, Lord, one more chance. No, what we hope to do, and this is my prayer, I do everything I can in my time to advance the kingdom of God. If he comes and I'm part of the all-star team that's on the earth, hallelujah. If he does not come and I die, I want to die and come up in resurrection one. What's resurrection one? That's those who will come up in the Lord. And that's what I want to come up with if I die. I have continuing reservation. Death is not the end for me. You know, when you travel, you have continuing reservation till you get to your destination. My destination, your destination, our destination is heaven. Now we begin the journey toward the open space in Orion and the heavenly capital beyond. We had already come to understand that speed was a relative thing. On earth, riding a horse had seemed swift compared to walking. Riding on a train had seemed fast compared to riding a horse. And some of us recall traveling around the world on a jet, speeding through the air almost 600 miles an hour, and yet as we traveled, the plane hardly seemed to be moving at all. Astronauts who journeyed to the moon at 25,000 miles an hour had no sense of great speed, and so it is now. The immense cloud with the multitude of the redeemed, together with millions accompanying angels, we are now hastening toward Orion at what we calculated to be close to 5 light years an hour. If you want some more information on this, there's a book, it's old, but it's a classic, by Walton J. Brown, Home at Last. And yet our cloudy chariot was so large that we were not aware of the speed or of even any movement. Ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus comes, he comes and comes down to us, and the prophecy helps us to understand in a half hour. But when we go back, it's a 7-day journey. And you talking about camp meeting. Oh, when you hear the original King's Herald singing in one corner, and maybe another group from Southern University in another, and the Oakwood Aeolians in another, and when you see some of your loved ones who have died in the Lord, and there you see Ellen White, you see James White, and you see some of the patriarchs of the church, that's going to be a great getting up morning. I want you to know that it took a total of 7 days to make the journey to the New Jerusalem. This was much slower than when Jesus and his glorious companions had come down to the world. Then they had made the entire journey in half a day. It was thus that there was silence in heaven for 7.5 days. For heaven was empty as the angels came down with Jesus to bring the children of God home. Early Writings, page 41 and 110. I'm trying to tell you, we're going home. And the reason why the officers and your leaders chose the theme revive us, those who are not revived can't go to heaven. Those who are not revived can't get on that cloudy chariot. And as that clarion chariot swings down, I'm told from a reliable source, the wings on that chariot cry out, holy, holy, holy. And the wings of that chariot say, holy, holy, holy. That's going to be a marvelous journey up toward heaven. 7 days of fellowship. All people down here, they want the jazz festival. They talk about the Super Bowl. They talk about family reunions. None of that can compare to the redeemed on that cloudy chariot heading home. Ours was a living, glorious transport. And those wheels were turning holy, holy, and we were shouting glory, hallelujah. And you can read all of that in early writings. And then when we get there, there's no more dying, no pain, no misery. Now, Ellen White says that Jesus will come through Orion. The scientists are trying to figure out what's happening to Orion. I wish they would come down to Mountain View and ask the people, Let the people help them on CBS and on Sunday morning news. And let the people tell them that Orion is getting wider and wider because out of Orion, Jesus is coming. Let me tell you how God speaks to us. Scientists sent up a special instrument to the Orion Nebula, and it looked inside. I want you to see and listen to what's going to take place right now. Thank you, Tex.
Using volume visualization, we can investigate the three-dimensional structure of the Orion Nebula. This nebula is an enormous cloud of dust and gas that is several light years across and 1,500 light years from Earth. Gas in the cloud glows from the light of four hot young stars at the heart of the nebula. Each star is thousands of times brighter than our sun. The center of the nebula is hollowed out by radiation from these central stars. We're passing a cloud called HST-10, known to astronomers from Hubble Space Telescope images. A disk of dust and debris orbits the star. Astronomers believe this marks the birth of a system of planets. Each of these teardrop-shaped clouds is a blanket of gas and dust that surrounds a newborn star. As we pull back and end our journey, we see the nebula from the viewpoint of Earth.
In a little while, we're going home. On Earth, the lights, the ceilings were between 8 and 10 feet high, but our mansions were between 20 and 20 feet in height, constructed so that they would be suitable when we eventually grow to the ideal stature of mankind, as we had seen in Adam earlier that day. Spiritual Gifts, Volume 3, page 84. We finally arrive in the center of the city and moved up the high but gently sloping hill. From there, we were able to look over the entire city with eyes that were much stronger than those we had possessed when we were on Earth. I want you to, in your mind, see yourself now in the New Jerusalem. Close your eyes and see yourself there. Relax. Let yourself be there. Ellen White says when we read Scripture, we ought to be right there when Jesus says, "Blessed are they which do this and do that." We ought to be able to be there, hear him speaking their words. Sometimes we read it so detached, it has no real significance and value. I want you to lay aside your burdens, your perplexities and challenges, and see yourself there in the New Jerusalem. See that tremendous city. It was a huge metropolis covering close to 120,000 square feet. As we looked, it was hard to realize that the city covered an area about the size of what had been the state of New Mexico in the United States of America. The redeemed who came from Europe could easily compare it in area to the countries they had known as Norway or Poland. Another writer says it stretched from London to nearly New York across the Atlantic Ocean. That's a huge area. We had sometimes wondered where everyone would be located in the holy city.
But now we realize that each individual had a fairly large plot of land, about 15,000 square feet. There would be room for more than 200 million homes in the city itself, not including what could be provided outside the city. Now, you can argue the mathematics, but one thing is clear. Plenty good room in my Father's kingdom. Plenty good room. And we're going home. And there'll be no more death, dying, and sorrow. And why revive? Because only those who are revived and maintain revival and reformation will inherit the kingdom prepared for them. And so I want to ask you to bow your heads and ask the Lord, if you come now, Lord, can I go? Will I be ready to go? Am I equipped to go? Those of you that realize that it's now is the time to make sure that your relationship with God is sealed, and you want to be listed, you want to go up to heaven, you want to be part of that great multitude, would you quietly stand? Those of you who have never made a decision, would you stand and just raise your hand and say, preacher, pray for me because heaven is real and I want to go. The very fact that we are looking at what NASA sent out into space to look at Orion, and Ellen White says it's through that opening Jesus is coming. And scientists say it's getting wider and wider. Oh, what a great day of shouting it will be. Now, if you're not sure, ask the Lord to spare your life another 24 hours so you can make a decision. And I'm going to pray now that the Lord will bless us and keep us, that we will not be weary in well-doing. We will not allow the negative influences that are creeping into the church to distract us from our main job of witnessing for Jesus. One sentence: to save the sinner and guide the saved. In a little while, we're going home. Home at last. Revived from the old death. Revived from selfishness. Revived from hypocritical behavior. God has blessed us and preserved us. Heavenly Father, tonight, in this auditorium, your saints, your citizens for the New Jerusalem are standing. Only thou dost know the challenges that they will face and are facing. We pray that you would fortify them and remind them that no trial comes to them that you have not carefully examined. And if it's in their best interest, you permit it to come through, because it's through trials that our character is made perfect. And character is the only thing we take from this world to the next world. Not our bank accounts, not our grade point average, not our IQ, not our zip code, but hearts that have been surrendered to Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you. And we pray, Lord, that no one here this evening will not be a part of that great getting up morning. And as we sing now, when we get to heaven, what a joyous opportunity that will be. What a great celebration that will be. May we sing as a believing group, having taken a moment and experienced the presence of God, the reality of heaven. In his name we pray. Let those who plan to go say, amen.